Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 87, the third paragraph. Today's readers are on the steps, Jan L. The traditions will be read by Lori T. Leslie M. will read the text. Vanessa G. will read the closing. And our backup reader is Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K. and Robin P. will share announcements with us. Thank you all for your service. I have the reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting and today's 7 a.m. meeting. Yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, Tuesday, April 1st, is 22,304. And this morning's April 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,310, 22310. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose. Message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At this meeting, at a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jan L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Jan L. in Florida. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jan L. from Florida. I will now ask Lori T. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning. This is Lori T. from California. 12 traditions. Number one, Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking, overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. OA. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the overeater who still, compulsive overeater who still suffers. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Every OA group ought to be solely self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Jody, we
can't hear you.
You,
Jody.
Oops, sorry. I was talking away. Thank you very much, Lori T. from California. And yes, we do change the words when we read the steps and the traditions from alcohol to food and alcoholic to compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and we do not change the words when we read the literature, other than the steps and traditions. Then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 87, paragraph 3. I will now ask Leslie M. to begin reading.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. Well, this paragraph is just loaded with with stuff and that just talks to me constantly. The first thing it says, we constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. And I have to do that all the time. I thought that I knew what was best for everyone. Even though my life was a mess and I knew that, I still thought I knew I could tell other people what to do and how to do it. And I have to say that I will be done many, many times every day. You know, I'm busy in the morning, but in the afternoons I have alarms set on my phone to remind me, you know, check in, see what you're doing, see where you are, you know. The other thing that says, I like this also, we become much more efficient. And I have to say that I am not the world's best housekeeper. However, my house is really neat and organized now. And I grew up with seven kids and, you know, in a little house, and the place was a mess pretty much of the time. So I found that I can use my time wisely now, that I'm not always eating, you know, and not what I was looking for when I was eating was oblivion. So I didn't do much of anything. I sat on the couch, I read a book, I ate, and I watched TV and I ate, you know. But the other thing is that says up here, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. And that's what it was, you know, and that takes me back to the 10-step promises where it says we cease fighting anything or anyone. And I was constantly fighting, you know, everything that was going on, you know. I didn't want it that way. I wanted it my way. You know, and what I really have to do is I have to just, you know, I found that I have to accept that this is, you know, this is God's will. It's not my will. And I'm grateful, grateful, grateful to know that today. And my life has gotten very easy. You know, it talks about it in here. You know, I don't have to be worried about all these crazy emotions that go on, because now today, you know, I have a higher power and I can listen to that higher power because the food is no longer in the way. And that's all I've got for today. Thank you. I pass. Jody, I can't hear you.
Here I am. Thank you so much, Leslie M., for getting us started. I will now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page 87, paragraph 3.
I'm Barbara.
Hold on just a moment, Barbara. Before I do take a list, though, I'm going to remind everybody that although we value everyone's experience and all are welcome to share, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences, too. I heard Barbara.
Alex
K. Alex K. in Missouri. Alex K.
Yeah, Barbara W. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And who from Missouri?
Karen K. Z.
Karen K. Z.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
And Virginia. Malta S.
Hold on. Who from Virginia?
Audrey.
Audrey?
Yes.
W.
Audrey W. And I heard
Barbara A. California.
Malta S.
Yes.
From Mexico.
Yeah, Malta S. Mexico. Yes.
Yeah. And Barbara A. from California. Okay, I think Alex K., Karen K. Z., Wendy M., Audrey W., Malka S., and Barbara A. Please go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Barbara W. from Jersey, Warren County. Compulsive overeater, glad to be in the meeting. I just wanted to share on that reading from the big book, because I know about alcoholism. I used to be an alcoholic. So that big book is really good for so many things in my life. It goes from the alcohol to the food to the cigarettes to whatever it could be and this and that and this. But you know what? I had to learn that when I came into recovery, my food was harder to get the food was harder than the alcohol because I knew that I was doing both, eating and drinking. So now that I don't drink anymore and I'm in OA, the food is better now because it took me a time. I had to keep coming back over and over to get the food right because I had to eat. And I didn't have to do the other thing. It was different. So I'm just so grateful to learn that I had to learn God's will because I was thinking about everybody else's problem but my own. I can solve their problem better than I can solve my own. And I can tell you what to do and don't tell my own self what to do. And I had to learn in recovery that I had to work step one. And step one was the step that really helped me each day to be able to focus on my own recovery, my own problems, and my own situations, even with my wherever I go, to worship services, to work, my family, everybody. Anybody is just works. Step one works great for me every day. I can remember that I am powerless over people, places, and things. And I wrote a line with that. When I said people, places, and things, one is for people, one is for places, and one is for things. And things is shopping, overbuying, overspending, and overeating. And the other is people, places, and things, where I go, who am I around, and I can check them all off. And just keeps me in line to know just where I am. Every day, step one is important in my life. Every day, I go right back to it and say, uh-oh, here I go again. I need your help, God. And I look at that list, and I can see just where I'm going wrong. Now, I've never had that opportunity to live that kind of life before. Never. Until I came in the program of recovery and still in it and will always be in it. And love all the people who share. Everybody who share, I learn. I open up my ears and I listen and I learn. So I wanted to say that today. I'm just happy to be here and hear everybody. And I'm grateful that we're going in the summer so I can go to the beach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara W. in New Jersey. Alex, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jody, and thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex, a compulsive eater in California, giving a reprieve for today. Oh, it took me quite a long time to develop the practice of daily quiet time each morning, and even once I did, my higher power connection felt limited to that time during my quiet time. Afterwards, I soon reverted to self-will as I went out into my day doing whatever I felt like doing. I forgot all about my higher power and was it just like with any other relationship in my life, I need to put time, attention, and energy into it for it to be strong. If I ignore my higher power most of the time and I rely only on myself, then our connection won't be solid. I'm so grateful that over time and with lots of practice, I've learned to nurture this vital connection, and it's grown stronger and stronger and continues to grow. I'm able to give more of my energy and attention to it, focusing on learning and doing my higher power's will. I know that's essential and the most important use of my energy. So I'm able to stay connected, carry that conscious contact more and more with me throughout the day, and try to remember to pause regularly, stay tuned into the awareness of my higher power always with me, and keep our dialogue going and listen for my higher power's gentle, quiet guidance. I've heard at the end of Serenity Prayer, after thy will, not mine be done, then thy will and mine be one. And I love that because that's what happens for me in recovery. My will becomes more closely aligned with my higher power's will. That's part of the spiritual awakening and the psychic change. So when I notice, and it happens, that my energy is focused out there somewhere on something other than my higher power, I ask my higher power to redirect my energy back to where it belongs. Where my attention goes, my energy flows. So when my attention is on connecting with my higher power, that opens that channel for energy to flow between, and I can then I have can receive that spiritual energy that I so need, that lifts me up and keeps me going through life's ups and downs. And I'm so grateful that I'm willing to cooperate with my higher power and receive so many gifts from that. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you so much. Alex K. from California. Karen KZ, it's your turn.
Thank you, Jody. This is Karen KZ in Missouri. And this is, we're nearing the very end of step 11, which is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And what I love about this paragraph, it says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. And the right thought or action is what God would have us do and be. And so I really, I do that whenever I'm disturbed. I always stop and say, God, please remove this and direct my attention to who you'd have me be. But I don't always remember to pause and do that more about everything, not just in the morning when I have all this wonderful time with God, but the step says conscious contact. That doesn't just mean in the morning or just during my official, quote, prayer and meditation. It means throughout the day, I want to stay connected. I want to stay connected to God. So God is running my life. And it says here, ask God. And what I have found, I like the word, I invite God. I invite God to take me over, to think God's thoughts, to speak God's words, and to act God's actions. And not for my glory, but for God's glory, so people see it's not me doing this. I am not doing this. God is transforming me, and I'm allowing God to take over. And the miracles and the wonderful life is only because God is taking over. It's not because I've become a better person. I have become a better person, but not because I did it, but because I invited God to keep taking over. And that is the change. That is the miracle of my life today. My life works in incredibly wonderful ways. Things have happened in my life better than I could have ever imagined, not because I figured it out and I did it differently. And like, I can't be a nicer person by myself. I need to invite God to take over and have me be who he wants me to be. So these nice words come out of my mouth. My responses are different, not because I'm making myself be different, because I'm inviting God to make me different. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Wendy M., please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks, Jody, for your service always. Oh, my goodness, right? We could talk about this for hours. I think the first thing I want to say is my favorite word in the book is exert. We exert ourselves more. So the reason why I wasn't pausing was because I thought I needed to say what I was feeling not only immediately, but over and over again, because maybe you didn't hear it. And something I heard in a meeting that really spoke to me was recovery is about slowing down. And I'm not that girl, right? I talk fast. I think fast. I walk fast. I ate fast, right? Like the disease wants things instantly and fast. And this says we're going to pause. You know, so it's the opposite world, right? The common becomes the uncommon, or the uncommon becomes the common. So what does that look like? What does it look like to not have that impulse, to have impulse control, right? Because I grew up in a family where you blurted out what you were feeling immediately because I had to get rid of the sensation in my body. If I'm uncomfortable, not only do you need to know about it because I just want to be honest, that was the creed in my family, but also because it was so uncomfortable, right? I mean, what's happening here is pausing is such a new muscle, at least for me, you know? And I thought I had to be heard. But what I'm finding is that when I pause, I get out of Wendy and I get God. And when I'm quiet and I don't say and I don't react, I get God's power, right? I'm whatever it is when we take the cord and we're shoved into God's world, like I get God. And then running the show isn't a problem. I'm not running the show because I'm not running my mouth. And it's exhausting to run the show, to make sure everybody does exactly what I think they need to do. So slowing down and pausing, which is a new muscle, it's, I'm going to be quiet. The other day somebody asked me a question. I felt compelled to answer it. And I finally said, because I was hemming and hawing, I said, I don't have an answer. You know, and what a relief. What a relief that we don't have to run the show. My life is not my business anymore. What a relief. I get to pause when agitated and doubtful. And part of the recovery is even knowing, checking in with my body and saying, oh, my God, I am feeling uncomfortable. I am feeling agitated. Knowing that is the recovery. And then saying, all right, God, you take it. I can't do it. And thank God, what a relief. When we get out of the way, it's a relief. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Audrey W., please go ahead.
Good morning. It's actually Audrey C. in Virginia. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. And I am so thankful for this passage. I'm just thankful for the ability now to take a moment, pause and pray and hear from God and then speak or react. I talk to him all throughout my day, not just in the morning, but several times during the day whenever I feel, you know, overwhelmed, agitated, fearful, doubtful, anything that I'm not sure of. And if one of my, like if one of my teens decide to backtalk me or, you know, not want to help mom out, I say, okay, give mom a second. I go in my room, I pray, I process, then I go back and talk to them calmly and rationally. I may still feel upset about it and I have to do a 10th step with my sponsor, but it's not how, it's how I react to the situation. I don't have to yell. I don't have to hurt their feelings. I don't have to have my way. And I don't have to make an amends. I'm not yelling or flying off the handles. That is one of the many miracles of this program. I can't do this. I can't run the show. But with God, he can guide me. And I'm just very grateful. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey C. from Virginia. Malka S., it's your turn.
Hi, everyone. Malka S. from Mexico, compulsive overeater. So this paragraph, I just love it. It's like it really embodies the miracle of recovery. It's like as we go through our day, we pause. And as Wendy said, it's a muscle that I have not strengthened yet. And I'm working on strengthening. It's such a reminder to just pause when agitated or doubtful. And just ask for the right thought or action. And there's another part of the book where it says when you ask for something, that like after you ask, you can just relax because God is taking care of it now. It's not in my hands. And that is such a relief. We're no longer running the show. We're in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. Gosh, that resonates so much. For me, this disease is so much more than the food. It's all of my emotions, my defects of character and just my whole, it's a very like holistic picture for me. So which, like, you know, if I were to get too excited, I tend to just get too excited or too fearful or too angry or too worried or too much in morbid reflection, which all used to send me back to the food. And today in recovery, it doesn't. And I'm so grateful for that. Yesterday I had like a situation. It was our 10th wedding anniversary, and my husband and I went into the city to, we were going to you know, go out for dinner and celebrate, do something. We didn't really have like set plans, but we also had to do some things that, like we had to pick up some groceries. We live very far from the city. So, we had to like pick up some things and do some like, you know, business stuff, not just like fun stuff. And one of our stops, we had to pick up like a whole bunch of meat for our house. And, we were at the store and our credit card didn't work. And we tried another card and it didn't work. And we had this like, and then I tried to pay with a bank transfer. And then I got locked out of all my accounts. And it was like a whole crazy thing. I was like on the phone with the credit card company. And I was just thinking to myself, like, let thy will be done. Let thy will be done. And, mm-hmm. and I was just thinking to myself, like, this is not in my hands. And it was like it was so miraculous that I was not angry. We were just laughing. It was a miracle. Like, anyway, I just wanted to share that. But thank you so much. I'm so, so grateful and hope everyone has a great day. I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Malka S. from Mexico. Barbara A., please go ahead.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you for your service. So grateful to be on a meeting and to hear these inspiring shares, to be in recovery, to continue in recovery today. I came in late and I didn't know what paragraph, and I kept relaxing and saying, it really doesn't matter. Something triggered me. I know where the paragraph is now after listening, but what triggered me to share was, thy will be done. I want to share something that I've heard early in program and just never was able to grasp until working this program, and that was, I will never get my way again. And what I always felt about that was that my ego, I'm never going to get my way again. Wait a minute, I'm never going to get what I want. And being able to turn that around and saying, it'll be what God wants. And I know people who are listening on this and the mention of God, that my conception of God has been so helpful for me. I can just share that yesterday I do some volunteer work for veterans, and we have this place that we go, and it's a big place, and it's got limited parking, and I was going to show up to do some work, and I'm pulling up, and there someone's taken the parking place that's designated for people to go there, but I thought, I always get to park there. Why are they parking there? And I was angry, and I had to drive around the block and park in the back, and I got out of the car, and I was angry. Like, why do they think they can park? And just saying, God, just remove this anger. Let your will be done. Why do I have this anger about this? It's wanting my own way. And really just speaking out like that and asking, please, just God, your will be done. And letting that go and voicing it out loud. I have to feel that other people on this line have experienced this, because it was taken away. The anger, the self-righteousness, the ego. It was all put aside. I'm a human being. This happens to me a lot. And this program and the 12 steps and practicing this program has changed my behavior by actively seeking a new path, a new design for living. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. And I ask for that right thought or action. I'm no longer running the show. I'm not going to get my way. It's going to be my higher power's way. He will direct me and guide me.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you for your service, and I'm grateful to be here. And I pass.
Thank you, Barbara A. from California. Thank you for your service. All right, we are on page 87, the last paragraph, paragraph 3. As we go through the day, we pause, ending with arrange life to suit ourselves. Who else would like to share?
Mary
Barbara E. from New Jersey.
Rachel
E. Barbara E.
Rachel
I got
L.
Mary and Barbara. Rachel O.
Rob H.
L.
Rob H.
Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon.
Mary Lee R.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Let's stop there. Mary C. Barbara E. Rachel L. Rob H. Mary Lee R. and Jordan L. Please go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Mary C. from Ohio. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I love this reading today, and I read it every morning. And, you know, in the middle of the night last night, I woke up for some reason, and I started thinking all these horrible negative thoughts about myself. I was obsessing over it, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I tried everything. So I said, I'm going to start thinking about gratitude. I couldn't think of a gratitude. So I just started praying. I just started praying to God. And you know what? I fell asleep. I fell asleep and slept straight through the night. So this morning when I woke up, I did write about it. And it was about fears. It was about fears about myself and I'm not good enough or whatever. But you know what? God came through loud and clear, and I asked him to take this fear away from me and help me to surrender it. And he said, you know, I've got you, and I'm here for you. You wake up. And I thought, to live and to love. And when he said that, I was like, just my heart just opened, because, you know, I am doing the best I can from what I know. And, God is taking us through our own path, our own journey, at our own pace. And it's like, I don't need to be perfect. And I just need to be present, be available, asking God, praying throughout the day. And I don't always remember, but when I do remember, it works. And it is using, remembering to use that muscle. And with that, I am so grateful. So that I pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mary C. from Ohio. Barbara E., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Barbara E. from New Jersey, a volume compulsive overeater and a retired higher power. There's nothing ever good of it when I took control. Well, for me, I call it the moments between the inhale and the exhale. And my intention is being open to allowing healing energy into myself, being willing to let go of something that no longer serves me, such as stress or worry. As I exhale, I aim to focus on releasing any physical tension, mental chatter, or emotions that may be present in my experience at that very moment. When I catch myself thinking about the past or worrying about the future, it's usually not helpful. I sometimes feel anxious or struggle with the what-if thoughts and past regrets, losses, or resentments. That's the ideal point for me to stop thinking about the particular problems. The most common outcomes for me, if I don't, are often indecision, inaction, self-criticism, or shame, or feeling like a victim and the poor me syndrome. That pause between the inhale and the exhale is where deep breathing is effective for me in relieving anxiety and sadness. The critical for me is the brief time when there's no thought. I focus on something that calms my mind. I usually focus on sensations or feelings or even the movement of the ocean off the Oregon coast, one of my favorite calming places. I try imperfectly, I admit, to cultivate more non-judgmental acceptance of my feelings and think of the possible good or at least neutral outcomes, changing my thoughts from fearful worries to positive outcomes and simple gratitudes, grateful for ordinary actions, taking a shower, washing my hair, making the bed, imagining myself as a vessel, open at the top and the bottom, breathing in possibility and hope and letting out any negative thoughts and emotions. Thank you, my OA family, for making this April 2nd a not foolish day, an abstinence day of love and joy. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. from New Jersey. Rachel L., go ahead.
Hi, Rachel O., compulsive overeater, official 100-pounder in San Diego, California. And this paragraph, it just speaks volumes to me because when I was running the show, it got me to 571 pounds and completely bedbound, living in a nursing home at the age of 24. And, you know, now that I'm in program, and as of 2 days ago, I have 7 months of abstinence, and I let my higher power run this show now because, you know, my best thinking, I'm insane in the membrane, you know what I mean? My best thinking gets me into a lot of trouble. But now that I let my higher power take the lead and I let my higher power run the show, I now am out of the nursing home. I am walking. I am actually swimming. I'm actually going to the gym. You know, I'm doing so many great things for myself. It's just unbelievable that all these promises have come true for me tenfold. You know, it's just, it's so amazing. And I'm not going to lie, I sometimes try and tweak the lights or I try and tell the dancer when I don't even have a speaking role in the play, I try and tell the dancers how to dance. I get reminded very, very quickly that remember what your best thinking got you. Remember where you came from. Remember all of that, you know. And it just, it makes me laugh because it just reminds me and snaps me back to reality. And that's why I have to have that conscious contact with my higher power because it's like a relationship, you know, it's like a relationship with a friend. If you don't talk to them for months and months and months on end, you're not going to have that close-knit bond with them. You know, you need to be talking every single day, bonding every single day. And that's what I do. You know, I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but I try to at least check in multiple times a day because I get very irritated. I get very annoyed with a lot of things. And I have to say, you know, that I will be done. And I have to just give it to my higher power. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel L. from California. Rob H., it's your turn.
Hi. Yep, this is Rob H., New York. Recovered compulsive overeater. Look at this paragraph. No longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves, many times each day, thy will be done. How many times is many? How many times do I have to say that? I've heard people say that, I've heard one person say that they say it around 250 times a day. I honestly have, my memory must escape me, or it's my pride, I don't know, but I don't do it as much. I feel like I do need it a lot more than I use it. And I like this thing, we become much more efficient. I always wanted that. I always wanted to be more efficient. I always wanted to, have more energy. And I think that's why I went to the food. I always thought, well, food will give me energy, and food does give me energy, but if you overdo it, then it's too much, you know. It's like it's a sedative at that point, you know. So these days, you know, food is fuel. Just like putting it in a car. You know, I eat to, I think it's I eat to live instead of live to eat. You know, I eat my food so that I can do things throughout the day, as opposed to you know, just living my life only for the food. You know, and so this. It's all very helpful for me, and humility is helpful as well. I need to remind myself, as I get into that thing where it's like I'm so grandiose, you know, thinking that I'm so much better than other people, and I don't need this, I don't need that, I can do this by myself, you know, and it's not true. You know, I need a lot of help. The only way I can do this program is with the help of every single person that has ever, you know, said anything at a meeting or sat down at a meeting and I saw who they were, or just, you know, put their name on a contact list. I needed everyone's help that's in this meeting to get through it. So I didn't do anything by myself. So anyway, I will pass with that. Rob from New York. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Rob H. from New York. Mary Lee R. from Oregon. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Jody. Thank you so much for your service. And this is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. Recovered just for today, but not cured. I'm also on day 12 post shoulder replacement. And it's the pausing that has really kept me going. And the physical therapy hurts, but it still keeps me going. And I am so grateful that I was able to cook and batch fix and make approximately 3 weeks worth of food labeled. And so my sweetie, who stepped up to the plate to help with my physical therapy and various other things, can read and know that, you know, what's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and my nightly metabolic. And it's just so nice to hear how other people do things. And this is just my most favorite part of the big book. But, you know, that's not true. Every part becomes my most favorite part of the big book. But this is where I have the most writing and underlying and and just, you know, someone earlier said about slowing down. I physically have to, I'm learning to do a lot of things one-handed. But I'm also, you know, my trust in my divine director is just so awesome. And, you know, I couldn't talk to my divine director with my mouth full, so I'm just grateful to be here, and thank you all for being a part of that. I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. And let's see. We are about out of time for sharing. I'm sorry, Jordan. But thank you for being interested in sharing, maybe tomorrow. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I will. Thank you so much, Jody, for your service this morning. Thank you for everybody who brought this meeting to me today. My name's Vanessa G., and I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.